This morning, as you take your Bible and look with me in a moment in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, what I'd like to do this morning is I'd like to help you understand three things about baptism as we believe the Scripture teaches us. We want to talk about the mandate, that is, why should I be baptized? Secondly, we want to look at the meaning of baptism. What does baptism mean and what does it not mean? And then third, we're going to look at the mode of baptism. When should someone be baptized and how should they be baptized? Now, we have upcoming on August the 13th in the evening, we have our annual outdoor baptism service where we always baptize a lot of people. God has been very good to us. We've already seen over 70 people baptized in this last year, and we have many people awaiting baptism. We always take children through a pre-baptism class, and we have a number of children awaiting baptism. We have seven who profess faith in Christ at Camp Baldwin. I don't know how many students did this week, but a lot of exciting things going on. But one of the things that concerns me is that we don't want to baptize people and them not understand what baptism is all about. And one of the things that I find very important is to teach you doctrinally what we believe the Scripture reveals, so that when somebody says to you, why do you Baptists baptize people and dunk them in water? Or what do you believe about baptism? The last thing I want anybody to do is to leave here and say, well, that's just the way we've always done it. Or my granddaddy did it that way, or that's what they told me. Look, what Darrell Craft says means absolutely nothing if it is not strictly and clearly what is taught in the Bible. Would you agree with that? And my only job is to preach the Bible and to teach you biblically what the Scripture reveals so that you and I can apply that to our lives. Now, there are some key questions for Christian living that we all should ask in every area of our life. One of those is, what is explicitly commanded, taught, and practiced in Scripture? What is it that is explicitly taught, commanded, and practiced in Scripture? There's a couple of others that I didn't put in your bulletin notes, but I want you to listen to these. I want you to ask yourself the question, can I articulate a biblical understanding of believer's baptism? That's what I hope to accomplish, that when you leave here today, not only will you come to grips with whether or not you need to be biblically baptized, but I also want, for those of you that have been biblically baptized, I want you to make sure that you can articulate what the Scripture teaches about baptism. I want to make this statement. My understanding and your understanding and explanation and practice of baptism must be based on Scripture. Would you agree with that? Not on tradition, not on history, not on opinion, but the clearly revealed Word of Almighty God. So let's dive right into Matthew chapter 28. I'm going to read these verses, verse 18 through verse 20, and this may feel a little bit more like a lecture than a normal preaching moment, but I want to make sure that we cover this material well. And I want to also make sure that if you have any questions, you can go back to this message online and get some information that will be helpful to you. The Bible says in verse 18, Jesus came up and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. In this passage that we commonly call the Great Commission, we are given the mandate to go and make disciples. And to make a disciple always begins with salvation or conversion. A person cannot be a disciple of Jesus without having been born again into the family of God. That happens when you and I admit and realize that we are sinners, that there's not one thing we can do to earn our salvation, And we believe that Jesus Christ is God who came from heaven to earth, died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin, rose literally, physically, and bodily from the grave that we might have victory over death, hell, and the grave. And that when we put our trust and faith in Jesus, the Bible says that we are born again into the family of God. That means when he says, go and make disciples, Jesus is commanding his followers to preach that gospel to people so that they may respond, and in their response, they are to be baptized and to grow in their relationship and understanding of the things of God. Now, with that said, let's look at the mandate. Why be baptized? What does the Bible tell us about why a person should be baptized? Well, first of all, baptism is how you publicly identify yourself with Jesus and his people. Turn in your Bible to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, and you might want to mark your Bible there and look in Acts chapter 2 that after Jesus had ascended to the right hand of the Father, the day of Pentecost had come and Peter was preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us in verse 38 that Peter said to them, repent and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call to himself. And with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept exhorting them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. So then those, now here's the key, those who had received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Now, the Bible tells us that Peter preached the gospel, called the people to respond to the gospel in faith, and then out of that faith where they came to trust in Jesus, the outward display of that was believers' baptism. Baptism is how you publicly identify yourself with Jesus and his people. Secondly, baptism is how you visibly signify that you are united to Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. We'll get to Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4 in just a moment, but you need to write that down. Baptism is how you visibly signify that you are united in Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. Third, baptism is how you identify as one who belongs to the triune God. It's interesting, if you turn back to Matthew 28, 19, he says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then fourth, baptism is how you publicly embrace and submit to him as Lord. Now, to baptize and to be baptized is commanded by Jesus. And God wants to make real to you what happens when you get saved. So you might ask the question, if baptism is not necessary for salvation, we believe what Ephesians teaches, that for by grace are you saved through faith, it is the gift of God, not of any works, lest any man should boast. When you read Acts chapter 2 and it says, be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, the translation of that Greek phrase is best translated as a result of or in recognition of the forgiveness that you have received in Jesus Christ. Baptism does not make you a Christian. If you get that, say, I get it. Just because you got wet in water does not make you a Christian any more than going into Krispy Kreme makes you a donut. It may make you fat, but it won't make you a donut. I like Krispy Kreme. Baptism does not save you. So why then is it important to be baptized? Well, I gave you four reasons, but I want to make this statement. If baptism is not necessary for salvation, then why be baptized? Baptism is necessary for obedience. And obedience is necessary for spiritual growth, for joy, and for fruitfulness in the Christian life. So the first act of obedience when a person is born again into the family of God is to follow Jesus publicly in believer's baptism, and that act of obedience pleases the Lord, not so that you can get saved, but as an outward display of the salvation that God has worked in your heart. I've been pastoring a long time. I had a guy ask me yesterday, how long have you been in the ministry? And I realized, man, I'm getting old. I've been in the ministry 36 years now. And I have had some fun baptisms. I have been taken underwater trying to baptize somebody. I have had people who have gone under and their feet have gone up. I have been speaking from a platform and had children crawl across the back of the baptistry. I mean, you've seen kids do cannonball. You can name it. Kids do it in the baptistry, right? I've had people come up out of the baptistry weeping. I've had people come up out of the baptistry shouting. I've seen all kinds of things through the years, and it's always a joy. Believer's baptism should be a joy for the church, right? But we baptize because baptism is a picture of the gospel. Why be baptized? Jesus commands the church to baptize people, and he commands people who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be baptized. So, there's no question that people should be baptized. Let's move on to the meaning of baptism, and let's answer the question. You turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 6, and let's look at what the Bible says about what is baptism. I want to read to you a definition that Mark Dever gives for baptism. Here's what it is. Baptism is a church's act of affirming and portraying a believer's union with Christ by immersing him or her in water, and a believer's act of publicly committing him or herself to Christ and his people, thereby uniting a believer to the church and marking off him or her from the world. Now, baptism is not a selfie. It's not just about you. Baptism has been given in the authority of the church, and I'm going to explain that in a moment. So oftentimes when we think about baptism as my baptism, it's really not just my baptism, it is about the body of believers called the church. So what is baptism? Baptism is a picture of what God did for you when he saved you. Look in Romans chapter 6, and I want to begin reading in verse 4. Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in the newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, that our body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, for he who has died is freed from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ has been raised from the dead, is never to die again, death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. I want to give you four statements about baptism as a picture of what God has done for you when he saved you. First of all, baptism is faith going public. Baptism is faith going public. People often ask, why do I have to be baptized in public? Because that is the model of what we find in the New Testament, because baptism was a public proclamation to others. I always say to people, when you are going to be baptized, it's one of the greatest opportunities that you have to invite folks, friends, family that you know who do not know Jesus to come to church with you and hear or see the gospel, because people will come to watch you get baptized that may not ever go to church at other times. I remember when I got saved and I was 16 and I was the only person going to church in my family, and I didn't know anything about getting baptized, but all I knew was that Jesus had changed me. And whatever Jesus asked me, I wanted to obey him. And so when I found out that I needed to get baptized, I confess to you that it went from September all the way to April of the next year. So not a year, but several months later. And when it came time to get baptized, I actually invited my family, and I'm so glad that they at least came and saw me get baptized. Baptism is a public display of your faith. Baptism is a sign of forgiveness and cleansing. Now, notice that I use the word sign. Baptism does not cleanse you. Baptism does not forgive you. It is a sign that others can see that just as water washes the body from exterior dirt, Jesus, through the shedding of his blood, without which there is no forgiveness of sin, through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, by putting our faith in him, we have been forgiven and we have been cleansed and we have received the very righteousness of God. And baptism is a sign of forgiveness and cleansing. Third, baptism is a sign of union with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. That is what Paul is referring to here in Romans chapter 6. We have been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. The Bible is telling us that just as Jesus died for our sins, was placed in a borrowed tomb, and rose again, when you and I die to ourselves and give ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says we are made brand new. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. And what Jesus is saying is, we are identifying with his death, burial, and resurrection when we are baptized. Because we were dead in our trespasses and sins. And Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the what? Come on now, he's the what? Life. He takes you out of death and he gives you his life. So baptism is a sign of union with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. It's a sign of the gospel. Every time we see someone get baptized, we're seeing the gospel on display. But it's also a sign of new life. I just quoted 2 Corinthians 5:17, and that's what Paul says in this passage in verse 4. Raised from the dead through the glory of the Father in verse 4, so that we too might walk in newness of life. You know, baptism proclaims three things. It proclaims the past, the present, and the future. It is talking about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. So what is baptism? Baptism is faith going public. Let me tell you some things baptism is not, just to clarify. Baptism is not only a personal matter, it is a church matter. Baptism is not rededication. Occasionally, I'll have someone come to me and they'll say, I want to get baptized again. And I'll say, well, did you recently come to faith in Jesus? And they'll say, no, but I've been away from the Lord, but God's broken my heart. I want to get right with God. I want to rededicate my life to Jesus, and I'd like to get baptized to show people. I don't allow them to do that because that is diminishing the biblical reason of baptism. Baptism is not rededication. Baptism is a picture of salvation. Okay? So if you're here today and you've been struggling and all of a sudden God's Spirit has gotten a hold of you and you have repented of the things, but you say, I know I'm a believer and I know I was baptized after I came to faith in Jesus, but I've been kind of away from the Lord and I'm coming back. You don't need to be rebaptized to rededicate your life. Baptism is a sign of salvation. Baptism is not merely ritual. Sometimes when people are baptized, we think it's just another religious ritual. Baptism is not a ritual. It is a significant spiritual reality that is taking what God has done inwardly and displaying it outwardly, and therein within itself, there is a measure of the work of God in the life of the person who is baptized because of the obedience that they are exercising. And some of you today, some of the struggles that you may be very well experiencing in your spiritual life is because you have yet to follow Jesus in the obedient act of baptism. Baptism is not merely ritual, and baptism is not salvation. You can get dunked as many times as you want to get dunked and come up as wet as water can be, but if you've never repented and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you can get baptized every week of the year for every year of your life, and you will still die and go to hell. What is baptism? Baptism is faith going public. So that's the meaning of baptism. What is the method of baptism? John MacArthur makes this statement. The method of baptism is wrapped up in its meaning. You cannot change the method without destroying the meaning. So the question becomes, when should someone be baptized? I realize that sitting in this auditorium and every week we have hundreds of people that are watching our live stream broadcast, and someone watching live stream may have the question, okay, I come from a different denomination, I come from a different background, I know that Baptists do it this way, other groups do it another way. Look, it doesn't matter what Baptists think or Methodists think or Presbyterians think. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. Ultimately, I want to look at the Bible and let the Word of God speak to us. Would you agree with that? Because your history, your tradition, or what others say about it is not what is significant. What's significant is what does the Scripture say? So when should someone be baptized? Well, here's what we know. There is no belonging to the family of God without believing. Would you agree with that? There is no belonging to the family of God without believing. You cannot be a Christian if you don't believe. Agreed? And since baptism is the introductory rite into the local church, you can't belong to the church until you believe. Now, there are privileges of belonging to a Christian family, but you don't belong to God's family until you believe. Now, in the Bible, baptism is seen in this way. In the Bible, you'll find three things that appear over and over again when you hear or see baptism. First of all, people hear the gospel. 1 Corinthians 5:13, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. So the first thing that you see when you read the Bible is that people first hear the gospel. And then secondly, not only do people hear the gospel, but they believe in Christ. Romans 10, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, but how are they to call on Him in whom they have not believed? How are they to believe in Him of whom they have not heard? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. So people hear the gospel, they believe in Jesus Christ, and then the Bible says they are baptized. Here it is. They hear, they believe, and then they are baptized. When you take a brief survey of the book of Acts, there is a clear scriptural pattern for believer's baptism. The words believer's baptism are important to us because we believe that baptism is reserved for believers, those who have heard the gospel and those who have repented and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 2, preaching a powerful message on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people came to faith. Acts 2, 14 through 41, the Bible says they heard the message. Verse 37, they were convicted. And then in verse 41, those who had received his word were baptized. And then in Acts chapter 8, Philip the evangelist was preaching to the crowds in Samaria. The Bible tells us that when they believed Philip as he preached the good news about the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women, Acts 8:12. And then again, when Philip was sharing with the Ethiopian eunuch, the Bible says he heard the message, he believed the message, and then he was baptized. In Acts chapter 16, we learn of Lydia, the first convert on European soil. She heard Paul's message. The Lord opened her heart. And the Bible says she was baptized after she believed. And then we have Paul and Silas, who were speaking the word of the Lord to the jailer and his household. And the gospel message was heard and embraced by everyone in the house. How did they embrace it? The Bible says they heard the message, which what it means is not did they merely hear the words of Paul and Silas, but they understood what they heard and they believed the message of the gospel. So the Bible says the gospel message was heard and embraced by everyone in the house. They were all baptized, and the jailer rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God, and they were baptized. In Acts chapter 18, the Bible tells us that Paul was in Corinth preaching the gospel and that Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, every time I read that word and that name Crispus, it makes me think of Rice Krispies. But anyway, and that Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed in the Lord together with his entire household. And many of the Corinthians, hearing Paul, believed and were baptized. The pattern is unmistakable in the book of Acts. They heard the gospel, they believed the gospel, and they were baptized. And that's why we believe in what is called believer's baptism. That baptism is for those who have believed and are wanting to publicly identify with Jesus and his church. Now, there are two terms that you need to know that they're going to put on the screen, and I don't want you to leave without understanding these terms because they're very important. And I think it helps you to understand why we believe what we believe. Pedobaptism. This is simply translated infant baptism. There may be someone here today that you were baptized in another denomination, perhaps a Catholic or a Presbyterian or something else, and you were baptized as an infant. And I don't know if you understand what those groups believe about baptism. I'm not criticizing them. This is just something that we as Christians disagree on. But I want to look at Scripture and what I believe Scripture teaches. Because infant baptism is something that has been practiced throughout the centuries, but it was not practiced in the apostolic era. It was primarily something that arose out of the marriage between church and state predominantly. And during the Reformation, for which we're grateful that the reformers redeemed the gospel and reminded us of what salvation really is, but for some reason, they missed it on this mark. The word credo baptism is from the Latin verb credo, meaning believe or trust. Pedobaptism is the baptism of an infant. Credo baptism is the baptism of someone who has believed in the message. Now, the issue of infant baptism is important because often we have people that join or want to join our church, but they have been baptized as an infant. And I need to say this because I want you to understand, because of what we believe baptism is a public profession of one's faith. The book of Acts says they heard the message, they believed the message, and they were baptized. Therefore, when an infant is baptized, they are not a believer. Even those who practice this would not say they are a believer. The problem is there is nowhere, there is not one scripture, there is no command in the Bible anywhere that you will find that says that an infant is to be baptized. Nowhere. And because of that, when John MacArthur makes the statement that to change the mode of baptism is to change the meaning, is a critical statement that we need to hear, because if we believe that baptism is a public profession of one's faith, and the biblical model that we find in the book of Acts and throughout Scripture is that baptism occurs after they have heard the gospel, they have believed the gospel, and then they are baptized, then the biblical principle or the practice in the Scripture was clear. People are baptized after they have believed. John MacArthur gives reasons to reject infant baptism. Infant baptism is not found in Scripture. Nowhere does the Bible advocate, command, or record such a single event. Infant baptism is not a replacement sign for circumcision. Circumcision was not a sign of saving faith. It was not even applied to females. It was a sign of ethnic identity. And then next, listen to this one. Infant baptism is not consistent with the nature of the church. The true church is made up only of believers. The Bible says in Mark 16:16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Infants cannot make a conscious response to the gospel. Therefore, to baptize them defeats the purpose of the ceremony. And so I want to say to you that while we have differences, that we can still love our brothers and sisters in Christ and believe very much that they are Christians, the reason that we are Baptist is because we believe that baptism is for believers. And it's important. People ask us, why do we adhere to that? Because we believe the scriptural pattern is very clear. They heard the gospel, they believed the gospel, and then they were baptized. So the question was, when should a person be baptized? After they have been born again in the family of God. Then the question arises, how should a person be baptized? And I'll close this up quickly. Don't lose me here. Don't let me lose you either. Now, there are three modes or methods of water baptism that is used today in the church. One is immersion, in which the person is completely submerged, like you saw here. Sometimes we use the word dunked. The second way is what we would call effusion, that is pouring, where water is poured out on someone. The third way that it is done is by an aspersion or sprinkling. And so, whereas there are those that would agree with us and say, you're exactly right, we believe that baptism is for believers only, but the mode of baptism, whether you dunk, sprinkle, or pour, is really not a significant issue. It is if you believe that the picture that is to be painted is of significant value. The Bible says that we have died to the old self and been buried, and we have been raised to walk in the newness of life. And the picture that we find in the Scripture is immersion. Now, it's interesting because John Calvin, who baptized infants, agreed that the Greek word bapto or baptizo, which is the transliterated word baptism that we have, that word literally means to dip, or to submerge, or to immerse. Now, let me tell you how important pictures are. If you were to come into my office, let me just suppose that Justin Green were to come into my office, and he were to see this picture of this lovely woman on my desk, and he were to look at that, and he were to say, Daryl, is that your sister? said, no, it's not my sister. Well, Daryl, who is that picture of? Well, that's Vicky. And Justin were to scratch his head and say, well, Daryl, I know Vicky. She's in the nursery today, but usually she sits right there, and I know exactly what Vicky looks like, and she's a friend of my wife. I know what Vicky looks like. That is not Vicky. And if I were to say to Justin, well, any old picture will do, what do you think Vicky would say? Here's the point. How should someone be baptized is based on what you believe the picture of baptism is supposed to mean. The Greek word baptizo or bapto, meaning to dip or to immerse, we baptize by immersion because we believe that the clear meaning of baptizo demands it. Listen to Russell Moore. When we submerge a penitent sinner beneath the waters of the baptistry, we are confessing something quite particular before the congregation, the watching world, and the principalities and powers of this age. We are confessing that we believe Jesus of Nazareth was immersed in the very wrath of God in the place of the sinner, that he was buried and that God raised him from the dead. We are confessing that we believe that this sinner may die and may rot away in the grave, but at the last day, shouting is appropriate in a moment, she will join the pioneer of her salvation in the resurrection of the dead. That's where I meant you were supposed to shout. And so you say, well, Daryl, I know you're Baptist and that's what you believe, but understand I don't want you to go, well, that's what Baptists do. I want you to understand why we believe what we believe about baptism. Because when you get baptized, should follow Scripture. But not only when you get baptized, but how you get baptized should be according to the Word of God. And every time we read about it in Scripture, they're going into the water. John went out to the Jordan because there was much water there. There's lots of examples I could give you, but the literal Greek usage of the word is to dip or to submerge. There's another word in the Greek for sprinkling, and that word is used of sprinkling or splattering with water, but it's not the word that's ever used in the New Testament. It's not used. So, how should you be baptized? We believe by immersion. Now, I want to answer some questions. I'm going to close here in a moment. Someone says, I was baptized as an infant. Why do I need to be baptized now? Because baptism follows conversion. I was baptized by sprinkling or pouring after I repented and placed my faith in Jesus Christ. Are you saying that I am not a Christian? Absolutely not. I believe that my brothers and sisters in Christ that do not necessarily agree with me on this matter are just as much a believer as I am. We just differ on this issue. And this is who we are as a church here at Temple Baptist Church. And so when we have folks who come to us that say, look, I'm a Christian, I was baptized after I became a Christian, but the mode of my baptism was different than what you believe as a church, why then would we ask someone to submit themselves to believers' baptism by immersion? It's this. We believe God is holding us accountable for the doctrinal purity of our church. And when you join a church, you're not just saying, I want to be a part and have a good time with you. You are lining yourself up under the spiritual authority that God has placed over you and the doctrinal beliefs of that church. And there are some things that we can disagree on. There are some things that it's okay for us to disagree on. But the ordinances and practice of the church are important, and they signify and symbolize something of great significance. So we would never say to someone who comes from another denomination but says, look, I really believe God's calling me to be a part of Temple. We're not saying you're not a Christian. As a matter of fact, when we have that happen here, we say in the baptistry, this is a brother and sister in Christ who has been a believer for a long time but believes that God is calling them to identify with this church, and the practice that we have is believers' baptism by immersion, and they have willingly and gladly said, we want to be a part and believe God is calling us to embrace Temple Baptist Church. Are you with me? All right. I don't want to be baptized because my family will be offended. They may feel that I have rejected their faith and my heritage. We hear this from people who have come from Catholic backgrounds or other backgrounds. And my response is, your highest obligation is obedience to Jesus Christ. That's your highest obligation. I don't like being in front of people. Well, sometimes I don't either. And we try to make it as helpful to you as we possibly can. And I understand that. But baptism is a public display of your faith. I read this quote and I thought it was powerful. To receive unimmersed persons into the church would amount to a virtual renunciation of our views of baptism. So in summary, here's what we need to say. Why should I be baptized? Because Jesus commands it. What is the meaning of baptism? It is a symbol of the saving work of God in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus that shows others that you have been born again and that you are belonging now to the local church and to the family of God. The mode. When should I get baptized? After I have heard the gospel, believed the gospel, that's when you get baptized. How should I be baptized? With the picture that paints the most vivid picture of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, here's my hope. I want people growing up in our church knowing what we believe. Do you agree with that? And so that's why I spent so much time on this message with you today. And I know we're ready to go and you got chicken waiting and all that good kind of stuff. But here's what I want you to do. In every bulletin, there was a card. And it's a card that you can put your name, phone number, and email address on, and you can check. I want to talk with someone about being baptized. We're not going to ever force anyone to be baptized. We don't do that here. That's not our goal. Our goal is not a number. Our goal is people. We baptize a lot of people here, but we want to make sure it's genuine and that it's not coerced. If you want to talk with us, you can bring that card up here this morning at the altar. You can say, look, I want to talk with you at some point. We'll pray with you. Maybe today you're here and you say, Daryl, I've got baptized, but I've never been born again. I'm not a Christian. Or maybe you want to join the church. We're going to invite you to come. We'll have a brief invitation. Don't run off. Let God's Spirit work. And if you leave with more questions, this is a good booklet written by a good friend of mine that I use some of his material today. We have this online and we have these at each of our kiosks. Baptism, why we practice believers' baptism by immersion. Our desire is that you understand the value, significance, and blessing from the ordinance that Jesus commanded for all who believe. Would you stand with me? Lord, this is your service, and I've wanted to be clear. I've wanted it to be simple. And Lord God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would help people to hear and understand and to know that, God, our desire is to just be clear about what we believe as a church. And Lord, I'm asking that your Spirit will move in great power and that, God, people will respond. People will come to pray at the altar. People will come to pray with pastors, whatever the will of your Spirit is, that you'll stir their heart and they'll respond. I ask this today in the sweet, blessed name of Jesus. Amen. Come on, let's sing a stand.